This morning I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled, The Character of a Citizen. The Character of a Citizen. We want you to, this is 4th of July weekend. This is Independence Day weekend. We are looking at and reflect and think about the wonderful country that we get to live in and be a part of. If you're here in the United States, one of the joys and the thrills that I really enjoy about Hunt Valley Baptist Church is that we have a very multicultural church. We have people from all over the world that call Hunt Valley Baptist Church their home. And although they're here and they're in America, and I'm sure they love America, I know you also have a home. You have a nation. You have a place in a country that you call home that's not America. And as we talk about the idea this morning of being a citizen, if I refer to America, understand that's where I live. But I know you have a place. How many of you here this morning hold dual citizenship? Is there anybody here that has dual citizenship, whether here or in your home country? There's a couple here. There's one there, one back here, one there. So I figured there would be some here because we have such a multicultural church that there's many people that have through the years been able to get dual citizenship. Well, I want to talk to you today and let you know, those of you that have dual citizenship, you actually have triple citizenship. Because everybody here that's born again Bible believer, I mean, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a dual citizenship as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Stay with me for a few minutes as I preach the character of a citizen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today and the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, God, for the awesome privilege and responsibility that's mine to preach your word this morning. I pray, God, you'd give me liberty to preach and clarity of thought. I ask you, Lord, you'd allow me to be emptied of self, to preach only your word, to challenge every believer. And may we rejoice in the country we get to enjoy here in America and the citizenship that we have in heaven. We're thankful for these, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a young man, I lived in El Paso, Texas, and it was quite often that we would pass over into Juarez, Mexico. We would go over into Mexico because it was much cheaper to buy a lot of supplies there. You could buy 5 gallons of laundry detergent for less than you could buy a little container of laundry detergent in the States. You could buy 100-pound tank of propane. We would take our propane tanks, because we lived out in the desert, we would take our propane tanks all the way into Mexico, because you could fill a 100-pound tank of propane for $20. 100 pounds. Now, it might not be that way now, but when we were kids, we'd go across the border. And as you're going across the border to get into Mexico, you just have to slow down and wave. Just go into Mexico, no problem. But to get back across the border when I was a kid, it was quite simple. It apparently is a little more difficult now. But when I was a kid, you would just pull up to the checkpoint, and there in El Paso, somebody would look in your car and they would say, Are you a U.S. citizen? And you would say, yes, U.S. They would say, okay. All you had to do is say, U.S. They would say, where's your citizenship? And you say, U.S. They would say, okay, and they would wave you through. I mean, the car's full of people, and the guy that's driving says, U.S., and they say, okay, and wave you through. No problem. It's probably a little more difficult now, but that's what it was when I was a kid, to get back into the United States. You know, along with citizenship, there comes many privileges. But there's also many responsibilities. And there is some character traits, some qualities that should be a part of every citizen of every country. Just like snow is white and pavement is black, fur is soft and concrete is hard, just like fire is hot and ice is cold, These are defining characteristics of these things. There are some things about a citizen that should be true about any citizen. I want to talk to you about the character traits of a citizen. There are some qualities that should be a part of our life, whether we're discussing the fact that we're a citizen of heaven or a citizen of a country here on earth. We should hold these qualities. You know, if you're saved today, this world is not your home. As the old song goes, you're just passing through. You may hold citizenship somewhere here on earth, but if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment that you bowed your head and trusted Jesus Christ, that you confessed your sins before God, the Bible says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Amen. You know what blessed means? Tell me, what does it mean? What does blessed mean? Happy. Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. Are you happy this morning? You can be happy. Your sins are forgiven. At the moment that Jesus Christ forgave you of your sins, you at that moment, you were adopted into the family of God, joined heirs with Jesus Christ, and became a citizen of heaven. You have the papers to get across that border. You have the visa, the passport. You have what's needed. And at the moment of your passing from this life to the next, you're going to wake up in the presence of Jesus. Because you're a citizen of heaven. That song, "This World Is Not My Home." Let's sing it together. You know it? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. One day, you're going to be able to go and be in glory as a citizen of heaven. Right now, we are citizens here on earth. In Sunday school, Brother Lejeune mentioned Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible says, "For your conversation is in heaven." Your conversation is in heaven. Now, we know as Bible teachers and those of you that have studied the Bible, typically when the word conversation is found in the Bible, it is dealing with or talking about what? Your life, right? How you live. Your manner of living is what it's typically talking about. However, this verse, this word, it comes from a different Greek word that got translated conversation here, but it does not mean conversation is in our manner of living, because our manner of living is not in heaven. That's not what's in heaven. What this is talking about, according to Strong's, it is talking about your citizenship, your community. That is the place you belong, your citizenship. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a citizen of heaven or a citizen here on earth, there are some characteristics, some qualities that should be a part of all of our lives. First of all, would you consider with me or acknowledge the fact that we should have the character of deference? The character of deference. To give deference to somebody, that is to be respectful, that is to submit or to yield to the judgment, opinion, or will of another. To give deference is to submit, to yield to the judgment, opinion, or will of another. And you know, as Christians, we are to submit to the will of another. We are commanded to. First of all, as a citizen of the United States, there are some laws that we ought to obey. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. the powers that be are ordained of God. So according to that verse, the powers, the authorities that are over us right now, you may not like it, but according to that verse, what does the Bible say? Who ordained them, put them there? God. God is in control of the affairs of man, and either we believe it or we don't. So the powers that be, the awesome thing about America is that if you don't like it, you have the privilege to vote and to work to try and change who happens to be in power. And one of the most powerful things that we can do is we can pray. But while the person's in power, we have to submit to the laws that are in our land. We should obey the laws. Now, there are some goofy laws in America today. You know, in Alaska, most people understand that it is never a good thing to wake up a sleeping bear. Probably not wise. However, there is a law in Alaska. It is against the law to wake up a sleeping bear for a picture opportunity. Just so you know, don't ever, you're breaking the law if you wake up a bear just to get a picture. In Georgia, you cannot keep an ice cream cone in your back pocket on Sundays. The rest of the week, it's okay, but Sundays, it's against the law. In Idaho, gentlemen, you might like this one. It's illegal to give your sweetheart a box of chocolates that weighs more than 50 pounds. It's on the books. It's illegal. You can't give her a box of chocolate that weighs more than 50 pounds. Now, there's some goofy laws out there in the land, but there are a lot of laws that aren't goofy that you and I need to be obeying. We have laws that impact our lives directly, and as Christians, we are required by God to yield, submit, and obey the laws of the land. You say, oh, I don't like that law. I know. But we're supposed to submit and obey the laws of the land. That's what we're supposed to do. There's some traffic laws that some of us have a real hard time with. Submitting and obeying. There's laws concerning property and establishments and zoning and things like that. That, you know, we haven't gone out there and built our building yet. We haven't just put up our building. Well, this is America. I don't like the current zoning laws. Well, then we have the privilege to legally go through a process which has taken an exorbitant amount of time and an extreme amount of money to get through, to legally get to the place where we have approval by the powers that be to build, right? We don't have, although we live in America, and yes, it's a free country, there are some things that we are restricted. We have laws that we have to obey, and we're going to obey them. But there are also courses of action that are available to us to try and pursue because we live in America. We should submit to the laws. We should submit to the leaders. You know, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 16 says, submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. This is 1 Peter 2, 13 through 16. Hey, there's some leaders that we're supposed to obey, some government officials. Now, there's a guy on YouTube right now. He's actually a Baptist, and I wish he wasn't. His name is Steven Anderson. He's a crackpot. He has videos on YouTube where he goes through police checkpoints and will not answer the police questions. And he tries to say, well, this is America. And who are you? Is there a law that says I can't do this? Is there a law that says I have to answer your questions? And in one of his videos, he was actually, the police broke the window in his car and tased him and arrested him. And of course, he put his big video up there and talked about how he was abused and how this should have never happened to him. And there are police that abuse their authority, just like there are citizens that abuse their liberties. Neither one should happen, but they both do. But in a free country, we have the course and the option to change who's in power if we don't like it. But we don't have the option to deny and to be disrespectful to the police that are trying to keep our streets safe. And Steven Anderson getting a following online, being disrespectful, all he had to do is say, they say, are you a U.S. citizen? All he has to do is say, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen. But he says, I'm not answering your question. And then they go on with this long debate about why he doesn't have to answer his question and so on. That is disrespectful, and according to the word of God, it's against God, and he calls himself a pastor. And he's got a following. He's hurting the cause of Christ. He's hurting Christianity. But he's demanding his rights. You are to be subject to the powers that be. That verse, submitting yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You say, I don't like that ordinance. Then you have in America the privilege to try and put somebody in office that would change it. But until then, you have to submit to it. Isn't this exciting preaching? This is what the Bible says. And there, this is not just the pastor doing it. I think the pastor is going to be held more accountable for God because the scripture says as a pastor, we have a higher condemnation because we lead people. But there are hundreds, probably thousands of people on YouTube that are denying the police even basic questions. Police stop them on the street and say, hey, do you have any identification? I don't have to show you identification. Well, there was a report of something happening here in the neighborhood, and we're just trying to make sure the streets are safe. Well, why are you stopping me? Because we want to make sure the streets, the police are being respectful and nice as they can be. And this pipsqueak, disrespectful little brat, is dishonoring the police. And what we're doing is we're teaching and training our young people to do that. And when there's chaos on the streets and the police have no authority at all and people are breaking into your home, then you'll start to think about, oh, maybe we shouldn't have been so disrespectful. Maybe we shouldn't have taught the younger generation that it's okay to deny the police. It's okay to stand up against the police. The police have been put in power for a reason, and we are to submit to them. Unto governors, or unto them, verse number 14, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that they will do, ye may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse number 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. If that is not just a description of that kind of foolishness, using their liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, that these things ought not to be so, especially from somebody that claims to be a Christian. We need to yield. Now I'm going to move on. But we need to yield to those police officers, those that are there. And if we do, we get the blessings that come with obedience. The blessings that come with obedience. First of all, you don't have to suffer the punishment that is due those that don't obey. You know, when you break the law, there's punishment. If you choose to go over the speed limit and a police officer sees you, very likely, you're going to have to pay a fine. And if you do it enough, it's likely you'll lose your license. Your liberties that you have to drive on the road will be revoked because you're not obeying the laws of the land. If you obey, then you get the blessings that come with obedience, and that is you don't get punished. In Ezra chapter 7, verse number 26, he says, and whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. It can't really be any clearer than that. If you don't obey God and you don't obey the laws of the land, let punishment be executed speedily to death, confiscation of goods. What was the other ones? Banishment or imprisonment. That's Bible. That's what the Bible says. We are to be in subjection. And if we're not, we get punished. So you know what? I got the guarantee right here about how to stay out of jail. Don't break the law. Don't break the law. And then you don't have to suffer the punishment. You don't have to lose the freedoms you now enjoy. Let me bring this down a little closer to home. Now, none of these young people here are going to go break the law. Right? But do you know what? You have mom and dad's law at home. And you say, oh, I want lots of freedom. See, we're getting to the age right now where these boys are starting to exercise their muscles. Not just their physical muscles, but their will, their desire to be men. They're going to start getting their driver's license, and they're going to think, well, I ought to have the liberty to go wherever I want to go. Do you know what? If you want liberty to do that, then don't break mom and dad's law. Because what happens when you break mom and dad's law, what I'm saying, if mom and dad say, okay, you can go over to John's house, but you need to be home by 5. And you say, well, we got busy and we got to do what we wanted to do and I got home at 6. You broke the law. Guess what? Your liberty, your freedom to go do what you want to do has just been revoked. You've lost that. Why? Because you broke the law. Because what mom and dad told you. You want to have liberty as a young person? You want mom and dad to let the rope out a little bit? Obey. Do what mom and dad tell you to do. If you obey, mom and dad can let the rope out. They know you can be trusted. But when you don't obey and when you break the law and you show yourself that you're not trustworthy, they got to pull that rope all the way in, all the way in, all the way in to the point where you've lost all your freedoms. And then you're mad at mom and dad for being so hard. And man, they don't let me do what I want to do. And they're such a mean parents. And man, they're just, I don't deserve to grow up in a home like this. And life's not fair. And you whine and complain. You did it to yourself. Just like somebody that's in jail right now and they're whining and complaining about the powers that be. They broke the law. They ended up in jail because they broke the law, whatever it was. It's the same. And it starts in the home. It starts by obeying mom and dad. And if you obey mom and dad and you're respectful to mom and dad and do what mom and dad tell you to do, I don't think you'll have a hard time obeying and being respectful to the police. Now, I'm going to tell it myself. One time when I was a kid, I was running from the police. You say, Pastor Caleb, I know. I wasn't always this perfect. We were skateboarding in a place that the police didn't want us to be skateboarding. And the police pulled up, and my friend took off. And I didn't want to get caught by myself, so I took off. So we're running. And this police officer jumped back in his car and drove around the block and got us coming out of the other end. Well, my friend turned down an alley and kept on going. And the police officer looked at me and said, stop. There's just something in me that was a command and that's what I was supposed to do. There's no way that he could have caught me. No way this side of heaven that 270-pound guy was going to catch me on my skateboard. I was gone like the wind. Nothing but a mystery. I was moving. But that command registered in my mind because I was raised to obey authority. And I stopped and immediately was respectful to the powers that be. And you know, after about 15 minutes in the back of his squad car, he let me go. I mean, we were just riding a skateboard. We weren't breaking the law. We were a place where they didn't want us riding. But I shouldn't have run from the police. Young people, you shouldn't run from the police. You need to be respectful. And that's something that gets indwelled. Now, I got kind of distracted there, but you need to, as a citizen of this earth, we need to obey the laws of the land. Otherwise, you're going to suffer the punishment that comes from that. Terry Nichols, anybody recognize that name? He was the bomber in Oklahoma City. He received the largest punishment ever issued in American history. he was given 162 life sentences. I'm not sure how he's going to serve those out, but 162, the longest sentence ever given. If you break the law, you get punished for it. In 1937, a young boy at the age of 16 years old killed his teacher. You see, it's not new. It's not something that's just happening today. This happened in 1937. He was sentenced to life in prison. In 2003, at the age of 82, he died in prison because he broke the law. You don't want to go to jail? Don't break the law. But you want to honor God? Don't break the law. That's what God has told us. We are to be in subjection to the powers that be. They are ordained of God. As a citizen of heaven, we have some laws that we're supposed to obey as well. It starts with obeying the laws in the land. But also, we looked at it last week. The entirety of the law is summed up in what? Do you remember from last week? Then if you're going to fulfill the law if you do what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. It's a matter of love. The discerning principle, the defining principle is love, and love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is filled up, encompassed in those two things. We have a law that we're supposed to obey as a citizen of heaven. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. We have to obey the laws that God has put in place. Obey the leaders that you have over you. Young people, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Brother Garland said this morning, the reason that he lived so long is because he honored his mother and his father. And that promise is being fulfilled in his life. There are blessings for obedience. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 13 and 14, he says, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil." But God says, if you do obey, God will bless you. He'll send the rain that's needed that you might be prosperous in your life, that you might gather in the corn and the oil. This is directly related to us in our life, that we would be prosperous. God says, if you obey, I'll send the rain on your life. But if we don't, he chastens his own. So we have the character trait of deference, regardless of where you are and what you call home. If you're here on earth, we, as a citizen of this country or a citizen of your country, we should give deference, we should obey, we should submit and yield to the powers that be. We should submit and yield to God as a citizen of heaven. Secondly, there's a character of devotion, a character of devotion. You know, when you're devoted to something, you're loyal to it. You're loyal to it. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." As a citizen of this earth, of this city and of heaven, we should be loyal. You should be loyal. You know, through the years, there have been different people who have not been loyal to their country. As a brilliant general, full of pride, he did not like that he was not, or he felt that he was not getting enough recognition for his military prowess. And so that well-known turncoat, Benedict Arnold, sold West Point to the British for £20,000. After being found out, he escaped for his life and then was put in charge of British soldiers and led British soldiers against the men that he once served with as a turncoat. Aldrich Ames sold U.S. government secrets to Russia during the 1980s. Ames worked at the CIA, and it gave him access to military intelligence and to the names of U.S. agents on Russian soil. His efforts earned him $4.6 million. But as a result of the secrets that Aldrich Ames gave away, over 100 military operations were compromised. Over 10 U.S. agents on Russian soil were executed. And Aldrich Ames spent the balance of his life in jail because he was not loyal to his country. As a citizen of heaven, as a citizen of this earth, this country, we should be loyal. As a citizen of heaven, we should be loyal to Christ. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, a follower of Christ, sat down and ate with Jesus himself. And yet, all these years later, the name itself, Judas, is a definitive character trait. It's like calling somebody, you Judas, saying you are a betrayer of Christ. Are you loyal to Christ as a citizen of heaven? All that Christ has done for you, all that this nation has done for Aldrich Ames. You know what his motivating factor was? Do you know why he sold secrets? He said it in an interview because he wanted some nice things. Because he wanted some money. His wife enjoyed the high life. So he sold secrets. And he said in his interview, he says, I knew when I gave the secret of this Russian agent that it meant his death. He said, I knew that he would be put to death, that a lady would be without her husband and children would be without their dad because of what I said. But I pushed it down and out of my mind and sold the secrets because I wanted the money. What is your driving force? What is it that's most important to you? Being loyal? Or is there something that you would do for money? You know, they've had the question, I mean, how much money would it take for you to kill somebody? How much money would it take for you to not be loyal to Christ? How much money would it take to get you to, and you fill in the blank, we ought to be loyal. By the thousands, men and women have given their lives and paid the ultimate sacrifice for what we have. We ought to be loyal to the country and to our Savior. Then we have the character of duty. The character of duty. This is service. Every man should do his duty. Galatians 6:10 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As a citizen of the United States, we have a duty we ought to fulfill. Obviously, to obey the laws, but if the time came that we are called upon or asked to serve in our armed forces, if we went back into a world war and they called us up, you ought to do your duty. You ought to do your duty and serve your country. You can do your duty here by getting out and voting, being a part of the process, voting, putting people into office that will do right. Do your duty as a citizen. Do your duty and take care of your things. You know something that drives me bonkers, and this is just a little side note. I'm just going to throw it out. Don't throw your trash out the window of your car. If I was a police officer, I would write more tickets and imprison more people for that than anything else, I guess. That just drives me nuts. You disrespectful little... I'm going to stop. Throw your trash in a trash can. There's no other place that's so convenient. There's trash cans everywhere. And people, they get in a parking lot and they open their door and they throw all their trash on the ground. That's not doing your duty. Take care of your stuff. As a citizen of heaven, we ought to do our duty as well. Be willing to serve the Savior. Do what God calls you to do. This is what we were talking about as we saw the video. And these young people said, at 16 years of age, I surrendered to do what God wanted me to do. At 12 years of age, I surrendered to do whatever God wanted me to do. And I don't know what year of age you are right now, but I know if the Holy Spirit's touching your heart, you ought to willingly say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, He's the Savior of your soul. He's the keeper of your life. He's the sustainer of your days. He knows exactly what your life's going to hold, and you'll never be happier than doing what God wants you to do. You can pursue your own path and go your own way and say, I'm going to be a businessman, or I'm going to be an engineer, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and you'll be miserable. And for the rest of your life, you'll look back at the day where you pushed God aside and said, I'm going to do what I want to do, instead of yielding to Him, your Savior who has done so much for you. We ought to be willing to do our duty to the one who has saved us, who sustains us, who supplies us day by day. Yes, Lord, let thy will be done and not mine. Whatever you want to do, Lord, do it with me. You might be a citizen of this country or another, but most importantly, I hope you know that you're a citizen of heaven. If you have that citizenship secure, if you know that when you take your last breath that you'll be in heaven, I ask you today, what kind of citizen are you? Are you obedient? Are you loyal? Will you serve? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. A very practical, straightforward message this morning. Not very highfalutin, maybe not very eloquent, but it's certainly right where we live. What kind of citizen are you? Dear Lord, I pray that as we have a moment of invitation, every heart would yield to you. Lord, we as a citizen of heaven are first and foremost to give deference, to yield to your will in our life. And I pray, God, right now, as you've spoken to hearts in this service, whether it's through the video that we saw the need of Honduras, or through the message of your word that touched our hearts, I pray, God, we would yield to you and do what you want us to do. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.